And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 121 for May 28th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Trending Mobile Technology, All Wine Aside, and Anything Goes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's Old Movies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's get back into our show again. Take two after a minor 10-minute power outage. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Is there a glitch in the Matrix? Because I'm having a sense of deja vu.
Yeah, seriously. We've got Kebbo Trek.
Yo.
We've got Katie, the First Lady.
Well, this makes sense again. I missed you guys. I'm happy to be back.
And we missed you again. And screw peace, we've got Carnage.
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
Get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Let's get into right into Heavy's trailer. If you guys remember a couple of months ago, they had this Bat Kid, Make-A-Wish Kid, dressed up as Batman and went all around San Francisco. A bunch of volunteers helped create a really special day for a kid. And I thought it was a great feel-good moment. And they actually made a documentary about it. So we're going to play the trailer and get our thoughts.
Miles always liked all superheroes, but he always kind of comes back to Batman. Natalie called screaming, crying, and said, Miles has leukemia. One of his doctors told us that with his disease, they just become like a fighter. They fight for life. And so I think he sees the good versus evil battle in superheroes.
We waited until the end of treatment to make his wish.
That I want to be the real Batman was his exact wish.
Because he's my favorite superhero.
How are you going to be the real Batman?
When we're going about doing a wish, it is whimsical and thinking about what would wow that child. And it gives them a little bit of their childhood back that's been robbed. So we decided to turn San Francisco into Gotham City and have him have these capers with a full-size grown-up Batman so that he would have a buddy. One of our volunteers put into Facebook and Twitter, and like wildfire, just like it exploded.
The postings were from like all over the world. This little boy really struck a nerve. When I saw that face, I want to be a part of that.
And everybody wondering, what can I do?
There were predictions that we have tens of thousands of people.
We have people flying in to experience this.
What did we get ourselves into?
Well, this may be the feel-good story of the year. A boy's wish about to come true.
A young leukemia patient is being given a chance to live out his dream to be a superhero.
And I'm like, there's a lot of cops around, and he needs a car seat.
I see massive thousands of people. I don't even know how to describe.
Gotham City needs you, Bat Kid.
Thank you, Bat Kid.
Has gone viral with folks from all over the world cheering him on.
Every actor that ever played Batman was tweeting, Adam West on line one. Okay, that's normal.
Let me out!
No!
Way to go, Miles. Way to save Gotham.
I'm already dancing on one.
Believe it or not, they're dancing for you.
He gave everybody license to just be a little absurd and live their little dreams for a little bit.
Thank you!
People were holding up signs saying, save us, Batkid. In helping him to live this dream, we were saving ourselves.
Bat Kid begins June 26th. You know, it just makes me think when everybody was a kid, like who didn't want to be a superhero? Who didn't want to be Batman? for a day. You know what I mean? So it just, I think it brings the innocence out in everybody. And it's hard to be a critic of this, because if you are, you're against like kids who have fucking leukemia. So you'd be like the biggest asshole ever. So before actually we get in depth into it, we're going to get a quick yay or nay. Kebo Trek.
Probably not for me.
Speaking of assholes. No, just kidding. Katie.
Yay for me. I would see it. It looks so fun to watch him go through all that whole experience.
Carnage.
Yeah, that's a yay for me.
Heavy set. Let's get your yay or nay and your thoughts.
It is a motherfuck yay. Two things I love about this. It reminds me of kind of what WWE has done with Connor and all that kind of stuff. But see it, just some like some other business, other whatever industry, do something very similar. And now you, if you didn't live in the San Francisco area, now you can like follow up on the whole story. And I forget how I had seen this article, but as soon as I've seen it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to be something we need to talk about. Because I mean, again, I remember like when the story first came out. And the second thing I love about it, it's fucking Batman and that whole thing. And it's like you had said earlier, of who didn't want to be Batman for a day? And here's a kid who got to live it out. And it's such a unique wish. Like normally it's, you know, I want to meet this person, I want to meet this, I want to do this, I want to do this. But be like, I want to be Batman for a day. That's just amazing. And the fact that they found a way to do it, and it got so much press and everything. This is just awesome. If I get a chance to see this in the theater, I will. If not, I would probably buy this on DVD.
I mean, it just goes to show the power of social media. Mm-hmm. You try this 10 years ago, it's not going to, I mean, just one guy posts a Facebook and a tweet and then 10,000 people show up. You got the president giving a shout out to the kid and everything. So everybody really rallied behind it. I think it just, you know, yes, it might be a bit cheesy or sentimental, but I think it's brought out the good in people for a day. I think it's, with all the fucking trolls on Twitter and Facebook, it's nice to see people actually get together and do something productive.
And there was something about all the former people who played Batman have like reached out one way or another. I think it sounded like Adam West called in, but the rest of them like tweeted or something. Because I remember the whole Christian Bale tweet, because it was just like, it was so odd for, you know, this guy who has been cast a bad guy shadow in Hollywood, at least did something. It might not even been him, might have been his agents. But even I think if they would have told him what was going on, he probably either authorized or he actually did it himself. So, I mean, it's so awesome.
Yeah, actually, Bale gets a bad rap. If you hear him in some of the interviews, he's actually a pretty chill guy. That old blow up at the camera guy was like a 2-minute thing, and he apologized right after. So, and if you hear him, like his interview with the guy on the radio, like he's pretty down earth guy, pretty chill guy from what I gather. I haven't met him in real life or nothing, but it seems like he gets a bit of a bad rap for that. All right, Kebo Trek, what do you got for us this week?
My story is the rumor of Hogan being in the Expendables 4.
Okay, let me read this story quick, because I'm marking it out a little bit. This comes from Dark Horizons. Though Lionsgate hasn't officially begun moving on a fourth Expendables movie yet, franchise star Sylvester Stallone revealed back in March that he's already made initial plans, when one of them being a return to the R rating of the first two films. We know Stallone will be back as Barney Ross, but today comes word of a potential new cast member, pro wrestling legend Hulk Hogan. During a Q&A session at the Body Power Expo in Birmingham, Hogan dropped a tease that he and Stallone may have been in touch about potentially playing a villain in the film. Kebo Trek, I mean, we were joking about Hogan being a villain or a face and a good guy, whatever, in some of these movies. I'm actually surprised that they're going ahead with a fourth one because of the dismal numbers of the third. It's cool that they're going to go more to an R rating. My guess is if they do this, it's going to be a lot less cast members and a lower budget. But I think just the Hogan-Stallone rivalry coming back is going to be cool. I mean, you know, it's going to be cheesy, but I've always been a Hogan mark, so I'm definitely looking forward to it. Let's get your thoughts.
Well, there's really a lot to discuss in this article. First of all, I mean, with Hogan, you got to take everything he says with a grain of salt. So there's a chance that there's no negotiations or anything like that.
Yeah.
But assuming that's not the case, I mean, he's pretty much perfect for it. I mean, he's like a D-list 80s has-been. I mean, that's like a requirement to be in the Expendables. And you know what? It'd be fun to see him playing a bad guy. And for all its cheesiness or whatever, I think it would be great And, you know, obviously we've talked about this a lot. If they make another one, it has to be R-rated. It has to be, you know, I think the experiment with the younger people, like the younger cast members, didn't really, you know, work out. When I go see these movies, I want to see my action stars of the 80s and early 90s. And the one more thing I'd say is, while reading this article, I was surprised that Hogan hasn't been in a movie since 1999.
Wow.
Like, it's, I know it's been a while, but I didn't think it'd be 16 years since his last movie.
Was Santa with Muscles or no, Ninja 3?
No, he was in The Muppets.
Okay.
So it's been 16 years. But yeah, I mean, who wouldn't love seeing Hogan in this kind of film?
I got a question for the panel.
While you're at it, too.
Well, what's that?
I said, get Mr. T while you're at it.
We might as well.
Yeah, but then he'd just talk about his mom for the whole movie.
I got a question for you. What if he shaves the head and the mustache for the movie?
Oh.
Would he, though? Because that's kind of his, like, iconic, like, that's his thing. It's his...
It's almost his throwback. Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see it, though.
I'd love to see it, but I doubt he would do it.
Yeah.
No way. He wouldn't do it at all.
Carnage, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I just don't see him shaving it. I know I read a couple of little rumor things where they were like, oh, are they going to bring Thunderlips back? So they were trying to hint to, like, his Rocky character, but... I mean, he's got the good potential to be the heel. We've seen him be the heel, and he did a good job while he was doing it. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. They got Jean-Claude Van Damme to play in it, so how worse can it get?
All right, Carnage, we're going to go to your story.
Hold on.
Brad Pitt.
I don't.
Go ahead. Go for it, man.
I'm going to get 2 cents on this? Well,
yeah, go for it, buddy.
I want to add to what Katie said, in not just Mr. T, but Rowdy Piper, too. And the funny thing is, I have a friend... Who is a comedian who has made that joke that Hogan should be in the Expendables and have Rowdy Piper and Mr. T in it. And he has a bit that he does with it. But the fact that we get Hogan in it, that's just amazing.
It's over. Take my money right away. It's guaranteed. Carnage, let's get your news story for this week.
Okay, so it was a lot of people earlier this year. Stephen Knight basically said he was going to do a sequel to World War Z. He told everybody that it wasn't going to start up right at the end of the first movie. So it made a lot of people question whether or not Brad Pitt would be returning in the sequel. Well, it has been confirmed that Brad Pitt will be returning in the sequel. It's not a huge surprise for most people because Brad Pitt, given that it's the first movie that was the highest grossing film in his career, a lot of people didn't see him not coming back. Beyond Brad Pitt's involvement, there is another twist in the story. It involves the movie's set release date. Paramount Pictures has revealed that they plan to have the movie out on June 9th, 2017, which would be prime box office release estate if it weren't for the fact that Fox already claimed that for the weekend for the Fantastic Four 2. But because of the not-so-positive buzz that's been surrounding the new Fantastic Four, Paramount's going to go ahead and play on a hunch that Fox won't go through with the sequel that are on the books. So either that or Paramount just feels that their property is strong enough that Fox will feel the need to eventually bump their title.
We've seen more than one kind of franchise headbutting. I think it was Batman and Superman, right? Against
Captain America.
Captain America. And they kind of backed down. So I'm curious to see who backs down in this case. Fox is going to wait and see how that Fantastic Four, that the new reboot does. My thoughts on World War Z... You know, carb jokes around, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, but essentially if you have an STD or chlamydia or whatever, you're immune from the disease, and that's how they figure out what's going on. I know it's a bit of a loose story explanation. You know, seeing the trailers for this, I wasn't interested in it, but it did get pretty decent reviews. I'm surprised as heck that is the highest grossing movie of Brad Pitt's career. I'm not sure what they're going to do for a second one because I'm not a fan of the franchise. So for me, I'm not too interested, but... I'd like to get your thoughts personally, Carnage, on the franchise itself, and if you're excited, then we're going to throw it to the panel.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first one, and I'm a big horror buff, man. I love horror movies. That's been my thing since I was like 8 years old. So, I mean, as far as the movie itself, I thought it was interesting. It was a different take on an actual zombie infection. And, I mean, there were some good parts to that movie. I don't believe it's his highest grossing film. That kind of shocked me because...
Yeah,
I would have figured something else, but I think what they're specifying is the fact that he was solo, because I know Ocean's 11 right. And stuff like that, he had a big packed up cast. They had Matt Damon, yeah. George Clooney. So I definitely want to see it. I want to see the potential. I have the feeling Fantastic Four will back down. I mean, personally, when you start getting into these comic book movies, I know that Marvel has gone on record saying they do this because in the cinematic universe, if they did it by what the comic book did, then basically it would be ruined for everybody. So let's take a different outlook and different approach to surprise those fanboys in the comic book crowd, you know, because now they can't guess what's going to happen. So I'm a yay on it. I'm a little excited to see where it goes. It was a good movie to me. So yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in?
I remember a lot of people were saying the movie was terrible, but when I watched it, I enjoyed it as well. I'm not necessarily sure where they can go with a sequel, but I'd definitely be interested in seeing it, considering the first one was a lot better than I thought it would be.
If the Fantastic Four was a Disney Marvel movie, I don't think it would budge, but seeing how it's not, I think it probably will budge. It's kind of like when like we mentioned earlier about Superman and Batman versus Captain America, because I think I said, like, fucking Marvel does this. Well, Disney Marvel does this. They will say this is when it's coming out, and they're not going to budge for shit. And not that long after it, that's when Superman, Batman was like, well, we're going to pick a different date.
Did you know that Fox Marvel and Sony Marvel has actually shut down a lot of the comic books preceding these certain movies? Like, they killed off Fantastic Four because of the fact that they didn't like the direction that Fox went with that movie. So, I mean, Marvel's just waiting for, I think, Fox and Sony to give up rights, because they're going to send it straight Disney's way, I think, because Disney is doing a great job of making these movies really what you thought of when you were a kid, when you pictured and read the comic books, you know?
No, I agree. I think that's the route they want. But I'm curious to see if Fox and Sony would ever give up those rights, because especially now in kind of in the comic book age where it's very lucrative, we do see a slow decline, very slow decline. But I'm curious to see.
Well, Sony's actually already started the process. I mean, look at Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a kind of a trade, though, right? Like, no, they're kind of loaning them.
No, actually, from what I hear, it's Marvel is just trying to get the process rolling. It's considered like a loan thing, but from what I've been reading, it's looking like Sony's actually going to give up the whole Spider-Man franchise to Disney, and I think something's in the works to where they get a little kickback.
Okay. I would say it's... I don't see Fox doing it, you know, because we got to remember, because we actually talked about this months ago whenever they were shutting down, I think, Fantastic Four, because that was obviously the main thing of, like, those two movies weren't that great. I didn't think they were bad at the time, but going back and rewatching by current standards, it's like, yeah, those movies kind of were bad. I did like Silver Surfer, but the first one did not age well, and basically... They created these like, okay, we have to keep the rights, so we have to make another movie, or we lose them.
All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. So who has seen what this week?
I've seen Tomorrowland.
All right, cool. Heavyset, let's get your review of Tomorrowland.
First off, it's a Disney property, obviously, and it is fairly, I don't say kid-oriented, but it's kid-friendly. Like, I could say, like, this is a movie you bring, like, your kids to. They're going to have a fun time because a lot of the stuff. You're going to have a fun time, a decent time because some of the stuff. But, like, I think as a whole, this isn't a movie that I would run out to see.
It's more kid-focused, but it does have, it's kind of like the Pixar stuff. It has... They throw bones to adults just to kind of reel them in a bit.
It's not like kid eccentric, I should say. Like when I watched it, I felt like, okay, you know, you could take a kid to this and feel fine with them seeing it. I think that's a better way to put it.
Okay, kid friendly.
Like, it's not a movie that I would say like, hey, you need to run out and see it right now. Visually, I think there's a lot of cool stuff in there. There's a scene in the movie that they go into this kind of a space themed shop. And there is a lot of Disney references, like, of stuff that's sitting there in the shop. A lot of Star Wars stuff. I spent, like half that scene, I spent time just picking out, like, okay, there's this. There's some things that are, you'll notice really quick, like Han Solo in the Carbonite or whatever. I mean, there's other ones, though, if you look in the background and all stuff. I mean, that was one of my favorite scenes, I think, in the whole movie. If I was going to rate it, I want to say this is about a 3 out of 5 or your 6 out of 10. You don't have to rush out to see it. DVD release, rental, Netflix kind of thing. And this was a movie, too, that when I looked at it, I thought it was going to be in 3D. I mean, that wasn't my intention. But when I got to the box office and seen there, it was not. at least where I went, it was not available in 3D. I went, oh, I wonder what happened, because this movie kind of shows it. I think the one part about the movie that I really enjoyed was the first half, when they tell you the backstory of the two main characters, which they have separate backstories. That was probably my favorite part. Other than that, not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, because you would think it'd be the perfect property. And I'm not a huge fan of 3D, but you would think something like that, very kind of gimmicky, a lot of visuals, that would be perfect for 3D. That kind of blows me away.
Yeah, me too. It's just like when I seen the previews and everything for it, that looks like a 3D movie. When they show certain things, it's when they go to Tomorrowland, it's kind of like, all right, this should be in 3D, but it's not. But I'm kind of wondering if it was a movie they intended for 3D, and then at some point they said, you know what, we're going to just not release it in 3D, have normal, and go with that.
Kev, you've seen Mad Max. I know we reviewed it last week, but let's get your quick thoughts.
I actually really, really enjoyed it. First off, I saw it in 3D, which I wasn't happy about, but it was probably one of the least obnoxious 3D movies I can remember going to. Like, I wasn't like disoriented. I actually didn't mind it. Yeah, it wasn't necessary, but I was okay with it, which is more than I can say with most movies. But other than that, I mean, it's Carp mentioned a lot of what's going on. You're pretty much shutting your brain off for a couple hours and enjoying the ride, because it's like balls to the wall action. Like, from the beginning to the end, it just doesn't stop. Just, you know, shut off your brain and watch 2 hours of nonstop, or 1.5 hours of nonstop. And I would give it 8.5 flame spitting guitars on 10.
One thing about this movie that I forgot to mention last week, and this is what a friend of mine posted the day before on Facebook about the movie. And then when I seen it, I was like, oh my God, I totally agree. But Mad Max felt like the backstory for Bane.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. What do you think it did? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it could have been perfect. He could have just walked off and then like went into that prison or something and been like, oh, okay, now this is the backstory of this, how Bane became Bane.
There you go. That'd be awesome. Let's get straight into it. The weekend box office for this week. Break it down. So yeah, my bets on Tomorrowland unfortunately did not pan as well as I would have thought, especially with a $190 million budget. Fortunately, it only opened with $33 million. Panel, please explain.
I was surprised with this. I thought we were looking at closer to $55 to $60 million. And I mean, I'm not really sure. It's a Disney movie. That alone like should give it some kind of little boost, but I'm not sure if the reviews were poor, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was too out there. I can't really explain it, because I was expecting a lot higher from this, and I guess maybe it'll do well on the foreign market, but I think we're all disappointed with how this performed.
I got two words for you guys. John Carter.
No, I think it'll be like that. Like, I think it's an extreme case, but will this movie make money? Probably not, but I don't think it'll be a John Carter.
I think it's going to be John Carter level. The first mistake they did was they didn't release it internationally simultaneously. So, you know, all the China money's gone, because they've already watched it 4 times. They've already caught it. It's over. They made that huge mistake. Second, nobody understands what the movie is. And I say it myself. I watch the trailer. I don't know what this is. Yeah, it's a Disney ride.
That's one of the things that I like going into the movie. Sometimes I like it when I don't know the backstory because of a trailer. I mean, and this is one that I really never got a chance to watch the trailer for, but I just heard the buzz on it. I was like, all right, I'll go see it. So I felt like it was telling me the story. But still, when I know for me, when I got to the ending, I mean, it's not a swerve type ending, but it's still, I was just kind of, I don't know, I just felt like, that was okay.
Me.
But I think with this, maybe it's kind of like, in a sense, it's like Cloud Atlas, where they tried to really kind of be a bit more mysterious, and it didn't pay off because nobody wanted to see it from that.
To me, if you don't have Chris Nolan behind it, just don't fuck with mysterious. It's not going to work.
I have a thought. I think it's George Clooney's not as hot as he used to be in film.
Are you saying that From a female perspective? No. Or okay.
For acting perspective. I mean, I don't remember the last good movie he was in, really. I don't think...
Ocean's 11. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Up in the Air, I think, is one of the...
Yeah, one. But, like, recently, I mean, this is his first movie in how long? I don't think people are gravitating towards him as much anymore.
Carnage, you agree?
I was going to say, to me, sometimes I feel like some of the movies that come out get outshined by some of the stuff that may have came out in prior weeks. Also, a big thing that comes into effect, I feel like, is star power. Now, who's on top right now? Who is a lot of things people are seeing good reviews about? They're constantly fed to you by social media or TV advertisement or whatnot. And I feel like George Clooney's been out of the limelight a little too long for him to kind of create that star power, especially because the female lead wasn't really a big name. She's kind of moderate. She doesn't do a lot of good stuff. I see her a lot more on TV.
She's hot as fuck, though.
Yeah, she is.
In my opinion.
But to me,
I kept thinking through the movie. I was like, fuck.
Me, there's hotter women out there. I mean, to me, it's like, am I a pedo for checking her out or what? I mean, she's kind of young looking. I mean, but it's just star power. To me, Avengers, things of that nature, or anything other than that, it's like these people are constantly in your face. So it's like you're going to gravitate to those movies, those people at that point in time. You know what I mean?
One thing I'll say about this movie, too, and I don't know why I forgot about it. I mean, this is seriously something that happens in the movie. I had a fear, it didn't happen, a fear that they were going to go a pedophilia angle. I can't get into too much without explaining much of the movie, but only thing I will say that you find out fairly early that there's like this, there's a lot of robots, and one of them is a little girl, and at its early age, George Clooney falls in love with her, like as a kid, and then obviously they get reunited later in the movie and they're much older. And there's kind of like a sentimental scene. I'm like, oh my God, don't kiss her. No, don't do it. He didn't. But I'm like, don't go that fucking route.
Dude, it's Disney. Do you think they're going to?
There's no way
execs are signing off on it. Pitch Perfect 2, $30 million. Very good gross worldwide as well. I think it's going around $200 million. No numbers on the budget yet, but I can't see it being in excess of 30. So expect to pitch Perfect 3. I'm sure they're very happy about those numbers. Mad Max Fury Road got another $24 million domestically for a total of 88. This has got a worldwide total of 200. Still about 100 short of making its money back. So, Kev, I don't know what you're saying about how it's doing that great. It's still got to make another 100 million. Yeah, it probably will eventually make it, but it's not going to make any profit.
I actually thought it was doing a bit better than what it was, but I still think we're going to see it make a profit, and I do think we're going to see a sequel.
You guys agree? I don't think so.
I agree. I think Mad Max is more of a cult classic. It's for a certain genre. Some of that genre may smoke or may not smoke the illegal substance in the States. but my thing is a lot of time, I can say I have a habit of doing this. Sometimes it'll be in theater, and I have kids, I have a wife, you know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, dang, do I really want to spend 40-something bucks for this movie? Or will I wait for it to come on Blu-ray and pay 25 to 30 bucks, and bam, I own it? And I think during DVD time, I think it'll make the money it has to. I mean, it's a classic franchise. It's a very specific genre. I mean, if they made a Monster Squad 2, I'd probably check it out. That's a cult classic for me. So
wow, that's going ways
yeah,
back.
Kick them in the nards. But yeah, I sign off on it.
I think this will make more money on the home market. And at least if this doesn't get them, because I've not heard any moviegoer say anything bad about the movie. They liked it. And I think this could be a rejuvenation for the franchise. And I'm curious of how much interest they have now gotten on the original titles. And I mean, if they get enough interest in those too, so it's like, well, we're making X amount for the new release, but we're also getting really interested in the old one. So we should definitely be able to make more money if we create. So, 'cause that's always the thing too. A lot of people might wait for buzz. Like, I don't remember the numbers for Batman Begins, but obviously Dark Knight fucking blew it out of the water.
Yeah, it did. Poltergeist 2015, the continuation of these low-budget horror movies continuing to make money. No-brainer for the studios. Debuted at $22.6 million. You figure that's going to end with a domestic run of about $50 million. Budget's probably like $10 million. So they're racking, they're slowly but surely racking in the small money. But, you know, if you keep doing it and you keep making money, you're going to, you know, it's just a no-brainer. Avengers came in at fifth place with $21 million. It's got a total domestic of $404 million. Like I said, again, absolute abysmal performance, in my opinion. Yes, it's made $1 trillion worldwide, but I'm sure they wanted to see around $500-600 million domestically. Again, making money. I'm not too sure they're worried about it, but it's, to me, it's a slow decline, the comic book franchise. Hot Pursuit came in at sixth place with $3.6 million. It's got a total domestic of $29 million. Seventh place, Far From the Madding Crowd, $2.2 million, up 82% with a theater expansion. It's got a total domestic of $5.4 million. In eighth place, Furious 7 continues to make money with another $2.2 million with a total domestic of $347 million. Ninth place, the American Hero, Paul Blart 2, racked in another $1.8 million for a total of $65 million domestic. And ending the top 10, Home 2015, $1.7 million for a total of $168 million. New segment, well, actually old segment, we're rehashing, getting back into DVDs this week.
DVD release.
Got a couple out this week. We're going to start off with Selma. Anybody see Selma?
Nope.
Nope.
Not a
horror movie?
No, actually, Selma is about the Selma, Alabama, or is it it's the Martin Luther King protest?
Yeah, it's Alabama.
Alabama, yeah, really, really good. I saw it on my week off. Almost as good to me as Malcolm X. The dude who played MLK, really, really good. If you're into the historical dramas like that, definitely check it out. We also have got another, a racial-based movie. Black or White with Kevin Costner. Anybody see that?
Nope.
Okay.
Trust me, but I will be watching it. My wife will make me. I know that much.
Oh, there you go. And apart from that, nothing too crazy. I don't recognize any other titles. So, but yeah, definitely if you're into historical dramas, Selma is really, really good. Let's recap our movie predictions game for this week.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Carp is still in first place. No surprise. A lot of game to play, but he's in first with $427 million for the Avengers. Heavy Set, surprising total of $109 million for Pitch Perfect 2. Andre's in third with 88. I'm in fourth with 32. Kebo Trek, fifth place, $29 million. And playing the home game, tied for third place, Mop Jockey, $88 million. Quickly, highest grossing movie, of course, is Avengers, but Pitch Perfect 2 is currently second with Mad Max third. And best value so far, Heavy's taken that crown with $10 million per dollar spent for Pitch Perfect 2.
I'm not a big fan of the franchise, but I knew enough women who were really excited about it. So I cashed in on that. My only regret right now is not getting Inside Out when I could have.
Yeah, no, that's I'm very happy about that one. Got some good value on that one. Yeah, so movies coming out this week. I've got two this week, Aloha and San Andreas. San Andreas, I spent $8, and San Andreas, I spent $12, and Aloha, I spent $8. So hopefully I'm going to catch up a bit. DeCarp, any predictions this week? How much do you think San Andreas is opening with, guys?
I'd put it at about 35.
Katie?
Yeah, 35 sounds good for me, too.
Carnage.
My gut is telling me a little more because The Rock, I mean, he just draws some star power sometimes. And
yeah, but only if he's in a sequel.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a good San Andreas that deals with the fault line. I think you'll get all them Cali people going for it. They'll get excited because, you know, whatever it is. But I want to say 42.
Okay. Abby, how much do you think it's going to make?
$1, Bob.
I'm
gonna go 32.
Yeah, I'm hoping for 50, but I know that's a stretch. I'm guessing I'm around Carnage's level, probably around 40-ish. Aloha, what do you guys think? Let's red book this. What do you think Aloha is doing?
25.
First off, what is Aloha? Which one's that one? Who's in this? Because I may have seen the trailer.
There's like it's like an all star cast.
Yeah, I know nothing about it either.
Hold on, I'm getting
From my driving experience, I've seen billboards advertising this movie, and it's basically just, I want to say it's almost like, kind of like a who's who, but there's a lot of like big names, and just because
Rachel
of that,
McAdams is in this.
So the chick from The Notebook, correct?
The chick from The Notebook in a rom-com with Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Bill Murray.
Yeah, I know what it is now. Man, Bradley Cooper's been killing it right now. I have to say, I just watched American Sniper recently. Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch it in the box office.
Wait a minute. We got another American on the show. Final. We got three now.
Yes, and I'm even mentioned in the intro. San Antonio.
There's a need for a rescue mission. When the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
America.
I knew you were going
to
play that. I knew you were going
to
play that.
My thing is with Bradley Cooper, Rachel McAdams, it might pull something. I see it not pulling much, though. The first, I'm going to say like 28 to 32 is what I'm thinking on that one.
Heavy.
I'm going 25, and I can give something for Emma Stone to pull.
Katie.
20.
Gebbo.
We're going to go about 14 for me. I don't think it's going to perform that well.
Whoa, low ball king there, fuck.
Wait a minute. This isn't Resident Evil. This is a Bradley Cooper movie.
This ain't no B movie, Kev.
America.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow grind. I'm guessing around 22. All right. That is the summer movie draft for this week. Upcoming movies this week, we've actually mentioned them. So let's play the trailers and get our thoughts. Start with San Andreas.
I'm going to get you out. Are you hurt? Are you hurt?
People need to know that the shaking is not over. We'll get hit again. And it's going to be a bigger monster. I've been the
wall. Oh my God.
The earth will literally crack open. And you will feel it on the East Coast.
I love you, Dad.
I cannot emphasize this enough. You need to get out, and I mean now. If you can't, God be with you.
San Andreas starring The Rock. You got Paul Giamatti in there as well. I mean, yes, it's a rehashed disaster movie, but we know Americans love shit blowing up and crumbling. So, I mean, yes, we've seen this again, but I got good hopes for this. For me, it's going to be a cheapy Tuesday, but I definitely want to check it out. Kebbo, check your thoughts.
You would have asked me 15 years ago, I would have been a definite yes. Probably not today. It kind of reminds me of Independence Day, where it's a kind of movie I would have loved back when I was 15 or 20. Now, nominate.
At 70 years old, you're not interested. The only 30-year-old in a 70-year-old's body. 70-year-old, sorry, let's swap that. 70-year-old in a 30-year-old's body.
Who's there going senile now?
Yeah, seriously, fuck. Katie, yay or nay?
First of all, I love Paul Giamatti. His voice right there was giving me chills. Yep. But yep. I say yay. I think it's going to be good. It's The Rock's first disaster movie. I think it's going to be a really good picture. I'll see it opening day for
picture?
Sure.
Picture? Were you born in the 30s?
Yeah.
Those picture shows.
Silent films.
There you go. I think it's a big test for The Rock.
Yeah.
Because but besides Scorpion King and that, he's kind of, it's almost seen as a lot of his movies have been disappointing box office wise, but he seems to have been
very hello.
Hey, I'm sorry, I stand corrected.
No,
but he seems to have been resurrected in as like a sequel enhancement, I guess you could call him, franchise Viagra. So I'm curious to see if this is going to help him in this movie. I'm really hoping it does because he's in my movie draft. Carnage, let's get your thoughts here, Renee.
I definitely want to say yay. My thing on this is most women are going to be like, oh, if I was going to get saved, I want to get saved by The Rock. So I think
well, I thought you were going to say Paul Giamatti.
No. Also, I think he gets a bad rap. Some people love to hate him. I mean, I hate to bring it up on this show, but at the same time, you got wrestling fans who are a big majority sometimes, and it's like, ah, do I really want to see The Rock? Fuck him. He dropped the title of Cena or whatever it may be, but I feel like it has the potential to be a good movie. I'm a big Tool fan. I know Heavy, I think, is as well. And they had an album called Enema, which there was a picture of the California line where California is basically gone, kind of like Escape from L.A., I guess you would say. So I think it's going to get – to me, I think it'll draw. I think it'll do it. That's why I picked 42. I think it's going to be good.
You opening day for this?
I'm going to try to make it opening day. It depends on these kids.
Yeah. Heavy, yeah or nay?
First off, I'm not only a fan of Tool. I was born in the same small little town as the lead singer, Maynard James Keenan. But this is a nay for me because I'm not really a big fan of disaster movies unless you count anything starring Melissa McCarthy.
You mean every single Melissa McCarthy movie?
That was the joke.
Oh.
Get it?
A bad one.
Get it?
All right. Second movie out this week, Aloha. Let's play the trailer. Get our thoughts.
Well, I remember the good times.
There were no good times! You cost us our prime new partner, a new space command center, all gone because cool guy here, Mr. Sexy Pants, Brian Gilchrist, blew the mission.
You were going to wear this like Flava Flav wears a clock.
I can't let one small meltdown destroy me.
A second chance. Who doesn't want a second chance?
Your old boss wants you back. It's Hawaii, our old stomping ground.
Aloha, Gilchrist.
You're back in the game.
I want to introduce you to your Air Force liaison. She's a fast burner.
A double espresso?
Morning, sir. I'm so jacked for today.
Make that a triple.
The old ex-girlfriend. Pause for the memories.
I don't even remember why we broke up.
Because you're a workaholic who creates work to avoid real work.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on that.
You wrecked everything, and I put my life back together in spite of you.
Will be an invaluable addition to our mission.
I have lone wolfed it all the way. That's who I am.
You're cynical. I get it.
I know what you're doing. You're not going to pick my brains. They're unpickable.
Before it all came apart, there was greatness in this guy.
Did you get the girl?
We work together.
Oh, why don't you just have what you want?
Do you have what you want?
Hmm?
How is Woody?
I don't know. Woody doesn't communicate. He
said a lot, actually.
What did he say?
Check out my manliness, dude. I've been working out, and I'm a little too handsome to ever see you as a threat, Brian. Good evening.
And he said all that.
He's actually very talkative.
I think that you came back here for a reason. Let's just talk about it before I explode.
About tonight, sir. I had fun.
In any of its many forms, I have found that nothing beats fun. Your life is going to become very, very complicated. The future isn't just something that happens. It's a brutal force with a great sense of humor that'll steamroll you if you're not watching.
Aloha from the writer of Jerry Maguire, starring Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Bradley Cooper. You got Bill Murray in there as kind of the senile, old, quirky guy. Every requirement of a rom-com is in there. So I don't think it's going to be a big opening, but it will have legs, in my opinion. It's going to be a nay for me, maybe a Netflix watch, because I am not a huge rom-com guy in the theaters. If I get curious, sometimes I'll watch it on Netflix. So it's going to be a Netflix for me because of the cast. Katie, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a nay for me, too. I actually kind of fell asleep listening to that whole thing. The trailer.
Well, there we go.
The trailer, not you.
it was totally me.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll probably watch it Netflix wise.
Carnage, are you a big rom-com guy?
nah, it's gonna be Netflix or on demand for myself.
Heavy.
All right, when you get curious, do you get a little bi curious? Because if so, I got a guy.
I heard the Mountie is a handsome man.
Yeah, I got a guy that would really like to jump you.
Yeah,
he's from New York.
Black men, white men, and Asian men.
Yeah, something like that. And This is a yay for me, but it's not a movie I'm going to rush out and see. This is going to be a cheapy Tuesday, or the one girl that I've been talking to who's who works at a movie theater, if she says,
how's
hey,
that going?
Well, the past two movies that I've reviewed have been movies that I've seen with her, and I didn't pay for the movie, but I have to pay for everything else.
Define everything else.
Food.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so. No, not like that. It just
okay.
It would be there like, you know, like you go out somewhere and like, all right, I'll pay for this, you pay for that. Well, she's paying for the movie, but technically she's getting the movie for free because she works there.
There you go. Good luck with that. Hope that goes well. Enjoy your free movies. All right, let's get into feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Carnage, because you are the new panelist, we always have to ask the new panelist, do you ever go ass to mouth?
Not me, but the girls I used to fuck with did.
Not even in the moment?
Not even in the moment.
Awesome. You guys are so repressed.
All right, let's read some tweets here. Who's Melody of Movies? Is that new? Is that a new listener? Anyway, so if you're a new listener, welcome. Melody of Movies tweets, second round, I'm pretty sure it will be a next good show for today. Hashtag Mad Max, hashtag OSATM. Oh, yeah, they got a ticket for Mad Max. So, hey, thanks for listening. I tweeted a test message because AA was like tweeting all this stuff with hashtag OSATM and kind of flooded the chat there. So it's all good. Everything's all sorted out. Speaking of AA, he tweeted, to help Heavy Set out, I went and saw Pitch Perfect 2 with my wife. There you go, adding to your totals, Heavy. It does the first one an injustice. I want my $17 back. Hashtag OSATM.
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Yeah, well, Heavy will take your money, though. He appreciates it. Brian from Toons, who is the best actor and actress in terms of range across various genres? Hashtag OSATM. I'm going to say for actor Daniel Day-Lewis and for actress Meryl Streep, Katie.
Yeah, I was going to say Meryl Streep right across the board. And I'll agree with Daniel Day-Lewis as well.
Carnage.
I'll agree with Meryl Streep. As far as male range, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis might... Are we talking across all boards of genres in the movie industry?
We will let you interpret how you like.
I like Robert Downey Jr. myself, man. And that's not because of the Avengers. Yeah. I've seen a lot of things...
I'm a dude. This guy's that's a dude playing another dude.
No, that movie, that was iffy for me. But I'm talking old Robert Downey, like Less Than Zero, Weird Science, and then, you know, progress along the lines. He had his little bit of rehab or whatever. But I like Robert Downey Jr. I think he can do it.
Heavy.
I cannot think of one for a female, but hands down for male, Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got range for sure.
The Burbs.
Double Vamp. At oldmovies.net, fuck you, you shitty winner. We were talking about last week. I was talking about how Avengers wouldn't make $100 million in the second week. He also goes to tweet, that fucking Joker looks ridiculous. Or as he pronounces, ridiculous. Fuck this Joker. I disagree. I don't mind the tats on the face. I think it's different. Yeah. Carnage, what do you think of the new Joker?
Actually, I've been keeping track of this because... I will tell you, I'm a big Joker mark from the beginning. So I have to say, as far as a lot of the stuff I've been seeing, as far as these clips that they've been getting video of and stuff, I don't see any tattoos on his face right now. I think that might have just been a portrait for a picture, photo op, whatever you may take it as. But I don't know. I don't think he's got tattoos on the face from everything I've seen. I do notice that he has that silver teeth thing going on, though. And I did see today that Batman is chasing him at some point with Harley Quinn in the vehicle. So,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, where that goes from there, I don't know.
Katie, what do you think?
I like the look. I mean, I get people are used to seeing him a certain way, but to me, it's the overall performance of how he does with charisma and personality. Like, I want to hold my judgment on it until I actually see him in the movie and how it comes out.
Yeah, Gebo was the same way. I agree.
I will say, I'm sorry, I did want to add, I know that from the articles I read, they're not going for the Joker that we're all used to. It's actually from one of the animated series, and it's not Batman, the animated series. It was something, a different Batman cartoon they did, but it was a Joker with a more professional white suit, hat, slicked back hair. So a lot of people might be disappointed that it's not the Joker that Heath Ledger portrayed or Jack Nicholson, in a sense.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to also do that because, I mean, it's already been done and there's no way that he's going to live up to Ledger's Joker. So in my opinion, if you're going to rehash it, be different. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Double Vamp, such a great impression of. Have you said? Let's get your thoughts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I not on mute? Oh, I'm definitely reserving judgment too, and it's something that I think I've said before. Of, you know, a lot of people criticize Heath Ledger just being cast as a Joker, and he obviously hit it out of the park. Now, I'm not expecting the same thing here, but I want to wait till I see a trailer, because you know, yeah, you're seeing pictures, but they can digitally add, you know, effects and everything. Because I know some of the pictures I've seen, like it doesn't look right, but I'm like, well. This is also without effects and all that. I think people, it's just like when Ben Affleck was announced as Batman. Just wait. I think what they produced for a trailer for him was great. All right, now I'm giving the same thing with this Joker too. Even if he does have tattoos, who cares? It's just a different version.
Fuck Ben Affleck as Batman.
Why don't you play hide and
hold on, hold off on that before. Did you see the trailer?
Me, myself, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been paying attention to this. Here's my thing. I am a big comic book fan. I've been, as a kid, wrestling. I have a lot of interest. Now, when it comes to DC, I think they're killing it on TV right now with their series they have. But some of their movies have been a bit lackluster. Now, they are trying to, besides Batman with Christian Bale, I will agree, great series, great trilogy. I will not disagree with that. But I think that when it comes to making these comic book movies, they have to cast people sometimes. And it throws me off with Marvel, too. Like, you had Captain America being Johnny Storm and Deadpool was screwed up here. I think the biggest thing is, if you're going to cast somebody to be something, stick with that. Because to me, I know Christian Bale backed out, whatever his reason was. But Ben Affleck, I've seen too many Batmans. I am a big Batman, Mark. I love Batman. He's probably the best. Actually, he is the best DC comic book superhero. You don't have anybody else. Fuck Superman. He's whatever. I just feel like Ben Affleck was not the right choice. I think they could have went a different route with Batman.
You know what? I was an anti-Batfleck bandwagon jumper myself, and the trailer convinced me otherwise, and I'm going to wait and see on it. I understand why everybody shits on him, but I'm staying optimistic as a huge fan of the Batman franchise. Double Vamp tweets, such a great impression of me on oldmovies.net this week. What a cunt. Enjoy your $36 million on Tomorrowland, fucko. Hashtag OSATM. I guess he gets his retribution for me. My Double Vamp. So,
did Devil Vamp just jump on the call?
Yeah, serious. That's when he talks, that's what I hear. I don't know what to care.
You never go full retard.
Shut up. Everybody needs to shut up. I don't care. It just sucks. I mean, it just sucks.
Shut up, Ant. Shut up, Wayne. Shut up, Ant. Shut up, Katie. Shut up, Ant.
Shut up, Andy. That's at least 20 times on the show.
I'm going to drop your call, Andy.
Speaking of Double A, he tweets, I'm sorry, but Ex Machina looks stupid. No, I'm telling you, it's fucking amazing. It's the best movie of the year, in my opinion. Just hold off with your bias. Check it out. You could download it for free. I'm not going to tell you how because it's illegal. There are ways of downloading if you don't want to pay. Just check out this movie. It's amazing.
Tweet me.
Double A, what was the worst superhero movie villain? Hashtag OSATM. Mine would be the Hulk's dad. Katie.
Superhero movie villain? Yeah, that's right up there. I was just thinking of that too. Made no sense.
I know it's Arnold, but fucking Arnold's Mr. Freeze was fucking hard.
No. Hands down, the Kingpin from the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
You racist.
No, it has nothing to do. Well, maybe a little. No.
Evie, worst villain ever.
Maybe not the worst, but the biggest disappointment for me was the Mandarin.
Oh my God.
Agreed. Yeah, that first trailer for Iron Man 3 with the suits blowing up. And then you just hear the Mandarin speak of like, some people call me a terrorist, but I consider myself a teacher. Lesson number one, heroes. There's no such thing. Like, that made me so pumped for that movie. Then when you get to the end and it's just like a quote illusion, it's like, fuck you.
It came off like a wet fart.
It was, oh my God, what a disappointment.
I will have to say
I was going to say real quick, that's literally one of my favorite trailers of all time. I think I know that and the first full one for The Dark Knight. Like, those are awesome, but at least The Dark Knight was a great movie. This just sucked because of that.
I will have to say the Mandarin, I give Marvel kudos because the fact of everybody who has ever encountered Iron Man in their life, you think the Mandarin a lot of the times with his rings. So I did kind of like how they threw it off. It was like, hey, you know what? Hey, big surprise. You know what? Fuck you at the same time. But hey, you got me. I'll give you one, Marvel.
Yeah.
And I will say that the difference between Marvel and DC, I've noticed DC is a lot darker in their comic book making. And DC was like that anyway. But at the same time, Marvel could kind of go that route with some things. But that's why I think Batman The Dark Knight did so well, because of the fact that it was darker. It was more like, okay, if Batman was actually a real person, I think that's how it would have went down.
Finally, Ant tweets, hashtag OSATM. Yeah, huge disappointment at oldmovies.net because I said Avengers was a box office disappointment. And he tweets a photo caption of Avengers making $1.1 billion. Here's the thing, and I'll bring you back to your Red Book, Ant. You said it would make two, and there's no way it's going to make two. I think it's going to make less than the first one. So in that regard, in my opinion, it's a disappointment. All right, closing thoughts and plugs. We'll start with Katie.
Well, closing thoughts is great to be back on the show. Great to have Carnage on. Great to have Carnage on. He's cool.
Screw piece.
And if you want to listen more of me, I'll be on WrestleCast shortly. We'll talk about Elimination Chamber, Samoa Joe in NXT. So, and follow me at Katie First Lady.
Check her out. DSJNP shows also found on the Trending Topics Network. Carnage, where can we find you in this gear?
All right, guys. I want to say thank you, Old School, for having me. Katie, everybody else on the panel, thank you, Heavyset, as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Carnage0228. And I do want to say, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. Mountie, you need to get at me so we can tag team it up and get these new standard cats out of the WIR. That's another place you can find me, guys. Plug that.
Agree with that. Yeah, that's the fucking old school. It's going to take out the new school.
You were my coach, if you do not remember, sir. And I believe some of these cats in the seats of the WIRX owe me a spot. Get the fuck up.
Yeah, agreed. Heavy set. Plug's final thoughts.
Are you really going to tag team with him, old school? He did kind of like help me betray you at one point.
I have a short memory.
It's the business though, man. You let it go.
You have a short memory because of the chair shot. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Canadian Hydro.
Always check out the great shows right here on the Trending Topics Network. I actually produced an episode of the Ohio Indie Report, which is available on here and the Ohio Wrestling Network. Great weekend. You'll hear me talk a little bit on DSJMP, or by the time this gets produced and everything, you can just listen to DSJMP WrestleCast, and I'll tell you everything about it and how I got to meet Samoa Joe over the weekend and actually have a little small conversation with him and whatnot. Also, a show that was released, I don't know if it's on the Trending Topics Network too. I think it is, but it's called The Conversation, I believe.
Yeah, it's on there.
The show that Ant came out with. It led to a Twitter discussion last night with Carnage is here, Cataclysmic, and another listener of the Week in Review, but I don't think he listened to the show, and it was, who was better, Batman or Green Lantern? And hands down, who would win in a fight? It's Batman would definitely win, because the Green Lantern's weaknesses are, depending on which version, it's either the color yellow or wood, so you can take down either version with a number two pencil. And people were just like, well, Batman is just a suit, and I'm like, well, so is Iron Man. And Green Lantern, it's just a ring. In that case, the Captain Planet and the Planeteers could kick his ass too.
I will say, Heavy, when y'all did that WrestleCast or conversation fucking beatdown, Superman would not win. Batman keeps a fucking piece of kryptonite in his utility belt. Screw peace. It's Carnage.
Yeah, I killed Captain Planet over the weekend when I threw a Diet Coke can at the window. All right. Thank you very much, all the panelists. For Katie, Carnage, Kebbo, Trek, and Heavy Set, and for Will, who had to drop off because we had some hydro issues. Before, thank you very much for listening.
From the promising action director of The Rock and Bad Boys comes his last fun movie before transforming into the Michael Bay we all know and hate. Hey, hey! Armageddon. gear up for the best film about drilling into an asteroid and nuking it since the one that came out 2 months earlier. And let yourself enjoy this guilty pleasure that's the movie equivalent of Taco Bell. Looks okay on the surface, but for the love of God, don't think too hard about what's inside. Prepare for an all-out assault on your senses, where everyone is always yelling.
It's on fire.
The clock is always ticking.
Guys, the clock is ticking. Let's go.
The clock's ticking. Let's go.
The clock on that 9-foot nuclear weapon is ticking.
And everything that can go boom will go boom. Including the title of the movie. Get ready for a Michael Bay version of space, where fiery explosions happen in a vacuum, meteorites are filled with explosives, asteroids look like they were designed by Tim Burton, astronauts only walk in straight lines, Michael Bay works at NASA, space cars have guns, spaceships have guns.
What are you doing with a gun in space?
Space dementia exists and is a thing.
He's got space dementia.
Drunk Russians can Fonzie a spaceship back to life. And it's easier to turn oil drillers into astronauts than teach astronauts how to use a drill.
I asked Michael why it was easier to train oil drillers to become astronauts than it was to train astronauts to become oil drillers, and he told me to shut the fuck up. So that was the end of that talk.
But this movie isn't just about things exploding while guys make loud noises at each other. It's also about love. Witness a romantic triangle blossom between AJ.
Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Harry, his Bruce Willis-ish, diehardish mentor.
Harry, I love you!
And Harry's daughter, Grace, who's just kind of there to be hot.
She's a babe.
She is fully hot.
If AJ wants to prove himself worthy of Harry's daughter, he'll have to drill a deep, hard hole right in the crack of a big, dark rock before Harry will admit he's good enough at drilling to drill his daughter.
Go take care of my little girl now. That's your job.
And if that wasn't enough of a creepy father-daughter relationship for you, watch as AJ seduces Liv Tyler while her real dad sings for them in the background.
Don't wanna close my eyes!
Do you think it's possible that anyone else in the world is doing this very same thing at this very same moment?
No, I can promise you, they are not. Starring taco-flavored kisses for my Ben. That guy from all those movies, Bruce Drillis. Man, I'm glad I called that guy. Dad looks like a lady.
Wow.
Brad Pitt's Eskimo Bro, Notorious MCD, and B-Roll. Drill hard.
I'm sure they'll make good astronauts. They don't know jack about drilling.
I mean, this is a little bit of a logic stretch, let's face it. They don't know jack about drilling. How hard can it be? Aim the drill at the ground and turn it on.